In October, demographer Peter Francis made a presentation to about 300 business and community leaders, and his assessment of Cape Cod is that we need to rebalance our human ecology by attracting and retaining younger families. He says this is imperative for our economic survival. Peter Francis is a widely recognized demographics and consumer markets expert. He founded American Demographics Magazine and writes frequently on demographic and consumer trends. And he's back on Cape to meet with municipal managers, selectmen and counselors, and town planners. And welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mindy.
Now, I attended the conference in October, and you had some pretty sobering information. And there are a couple things kind of come to mind right off the bat, was that year-round growth has virtually ceased. So tell us a little bit about that and what that means.
Well, what it means is that the population, the year-round population of the Cape, is declining. It's actually shrinking a little bit, not by much, but it's not growing. There's no more growth. And that's happening for two reasons. One is because more people are moving off of the Cape than are moving to the Cape. And that's not a good situation. You always want at least a few more people coming than leaving each year. There's always ins and outs, but you want unbalanced to be more people. But the other reason is the age of the population on the Cape is so high that, demographically speaking, the Cape is the oldest county in all of New England.
That's pretty shocking. I think a lot of people, you think of, that would be a big surprise.
Yeah, you would think so. But yeah. In fact, it's not only the oldest county in New England, but it's probably without any doubt, the top 25 oldest counties in the entire United States. Mm-hmm. There's 3,000 counties in this country, and there's only a dozen or more that are, demographically speaking, older than the Cape. One manifestation of this is the Cape has, every year, significantly more deaths than mm-hmm. births, because of its aged population, and that's called natural increase. When you have more births than deaths, that's natural increase. When you have more deaths than births, that's natural decrease, mm-hmm. and that takes people away. Mm-hmm. And there's only 10 counties in the country that have a greater loss of people because of that than the Cape. And that's not positive for the Cape.
Right. And one of the things I think that people will not be surprised to learn is that we're losing young people. And you say that this older than average profile creates a greater imperative to build workforce housing. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Not only is the population of the Cape declining, but its workforce is also declining. And that's equally, if not more important. One could have a lack of population growth overall, and that would not necessarily be a big problem unless the workforce starts to decline. As workers become harder and harder to get, it costs every employer on the Cape more money to get workers, and that tends to discourage the hiring of people, and that really destroys jobs. And so the decline in the workforce is due to the fact that the Cape is losing fairly significant numbers of young adults 35 to 44. They've lost almost over 4,000 of them just in the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that loss of 35 to 44-year-old people, those are families that you're losing. And you're not only losing them, but you're losing their children. And so school population's declining, and school becomes more expensive as a result. And that's just not good for the Cape overall.
Right. And since we're talking about schools, a couple of things you said at the conference that I believe I might have heard a few gasps in the crowd. One was you talked about regional government and at most three regional school districts. Let's start with the school districts. You think we have too many schools?
It's not that you have too many schools. It's that you have too many very, very small schools. Operating a public school system is an expensive endeavor that is largely fixed costs. There's the fixed cost of the buildings, the administrators, the whole operation is mainly a fixed cost. And the fact that there are 4,500 fewer children in schools on the Cape today, 4,500 fewer than there was 6 years ago, has had no effect on the cost. In fact, costs have continued to rise quite dramatically. that can't continue. You can't keep doing that. As the population that's in schools shrinks, it is really necessary for the schools on the Cape, the school districts, to consolidate. It makes sense to have three or four school districts, maybe five, I don't know, yeah. but a few on the Cape, but it makes no sense to have 14 of them.
Right. And then one of the things that is interesting when you talk about what we're spending on the amount of kids, you give a comparison. You compared us a lot to Scottsdale, Arizona. So give us that comparison. Why Scottsdale, and what do they spend compared to what we spend on school?
Well, Scottsdale educates 27,000 children a year. On the Cape, the number is 26,400. So they're roughly comparable. They have a few more kids in the Scottsdale system, but not that many more. In total, the public schools on the Cape spend approximately $350 million to educate those 26,400 kids. Scottsdale spends a little more than $100 million less.
Wow.
But they have one district.
One district, yeah.
And they started with one district. And they don't have cultural issues like we do here in New England of local control. Mm-hmm. There are no local school districts in Scottsdale that fight amongst themselves for resources from the state of Arizona.
Right.
This one large school system. I'm not comparing their educational quality to our educational quality or anything of the kind. It's just that they have huge economies of scale mm-hmm. that they can operate with. They probably have just as many schools, the actual school buildings.
Right.
There are just as many.
Mm-hmm.
But the administrative costs are vastly, vastly lower.
Now, regional government, that's something, you know, some people have talked about. There's been some controversy over that. But one of the things you're saying is that is a direction you think that we should be looking at.
Well, I expected to be stoned, to be quite frankly, stoned when I mentioned the word regional government, because that is a very dirty word, a four-letter word, if you want to call it that, in New England, because we have this cultural icon called local control. The problem with local control is it's a myth. You really don't control anything. It's only in your mind that you think you control it. So much of public education is state mandates, federal mandates of one kind and another, that there really is almost no local control, really, mm-hmm. of anything for that matter. Roads have to be plowed, whether you do it with a plow person from the town or from a region, mm-hmm. it still gets done, same
right.
job. What I was suggesting was, and one of the things I did in my discussions over the last couple of days, was to divide the Cape into Upper Cape, Mid Cape, Lower Cape, Outer Cape, which is mm-hmm. what people here do, and suggest that the people on the Outer Cape get together and do something, and the people on the Lower Cape get together and do, and the Mid Cape. Mid Cape is, you know, got three towns, and two of them have already consolidated their school district. Dennis Yarmouth is already one school district, and Barnstable is a separate school district. Now, they're big school districts, and maybe there's no economies of scale to combining them. But surely in some of the other places, for example, on the Lower Cape, Harwich, or, you know, Orleans might think about going in with the Nauset School mm-hmm. and doing more consolidation there because their schools are very small and they are declining. And in the case of Harwich, they need a new school building. Well, there's no purpose served in building a brand new school building that's going to be half empty in 10 mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no economic sense whatsoever. And the cost of educating a child on the Cape is almost $14,000 per child, $13,700. It's only $11,000 in the rest of the state.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be ways of saving money.
And one of the things you're saying here, especially when it comes to the school expenses, this is not sustainable.
No.
And this is going to be a real problem for us.
No. When you have a 15% drop in enrollment, and yet in the face of that you spend 26% more, if it drops another 15%, which it probably will over the next 6 years, and you spend an additional 26% more, the cost per child is going to be over $20,000 a year.
Not to mention what our
property
taxes.
The small households on the Cape, almost a third of the households on the Cape have only one person living in them,
mm-hmm.
and the median age of the householders well over 50. They don't want to spend their money in that way. They can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarter of the people who live on the Cape are over the age of 65. And they're very conscious of what their expenses are. And so I think that the continually spending more and more money on fewer and fewer children mm-hmm. is not sustainable.
Right. And one of the things you're doing that you've been doing the last couple of days is you've been meeting with town leaders, and you've done some more work after the summit that you had in October and kind of broke things down town by town. What are some of the highlights? What are some of the things you're finding when you break it down town by town?
Well, one of the things I'm finding is that the major decrease in population is coming from the Mid-Cape region, Barnstable, Dennis, and Yarmouth. And they also have the slowest, smallest growth in the number of dwelling units. But the other towns, which have low growth but still some population growth, are still having pretty high growth in the construction of dwelling units. And so, for example, Provincetown, their population went down a small amount, but they got almost 4% more dwelling units than they had. Eastham population grew maybe 1%. Housing units are up 7%. So there's housing growth pretty much throughout the Cape, with the exception of the Mid-Cape region. And that suggests to me that the second home buyers are becoming much, much more dominant. And more people are on the Cape only part of the time and are not Massachusetts residents. And this is, in my view, a difficult trend, because what you want is some sort of balance between workers, retirees, and second homeowners. They all create housing demand. But it looks like the second home buyers and to some extent the retirees are able to outbid the workers. And it makes the provision of affordable housing on the Cape a really difficult proposition. Yeah. Absolutely necessary, but much more difficult than in other places. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. It must be done, but it's really hard.
All right, we're talking with demographer Peter Francis. Maybe you can tell us, you know, there are folks who would say, okay, why do we need the younger people? And explain why that's important, why it's important to have the younger people as well as the retirees and second.
Sure. Just one example. If the school district, the Nauset School District or the Dennis Yarmouth School District needs to hire a teacher. Simple thing, right? They can only afford to pay the teacher so much money. Supposing that the hospital, one of the two hospitals we have here in the Cape, needs to hire a nurse. Now, they have very strict caps on how much they can charge Medicare and Medicaid patients, which represent the majority of their patients. So there's only so much money they can pay that person. Let's assume in both cases they're going to pay that person $50,000 a year. Just finding that person and recruiting them, and they may recruit from nationwide or at least region-wide. And the person comes on the Cape and interviews for the job and then asks the obvious question, where am I going to live? And they say, well, we've got a condominium down here that's for sale. It's $500,000. And they say, that's 10 times what you're going to pay me. I can't afford to live here.
Mm-hmm. And that does happen. Believe me, we do get teachers who take jobs, come here, realize they can't afford to live here, and have to go somewhere else.
That's right. Yeah, right. And that what it does is it unbalances the demography, and it makes not only everything more expensive, but it reduces economic activity mm-hmm. because it's not just the hospital and the school districts, it's the restaurants, it's the hotels, it's the structure of this tourist-based economy that is in peril mm-hmm. because of lack of workers. The construction industry is in peril because of lack of workers. Mm-hmm. This work that I've done in large part funded by the Chamber of Commerce is important because it's opening people's eyes to the fact that the economy is an immensely complex thing that's interwoven between workers and the people who buy the services of those workers. And it's not a simple thing that you can just toss out an answer to. It's complex enough so that we have to think about what we do in the way of housing and how the Cape is managed from a infrastructure point of view.
And one of the things that that you mentioned in October at that presentation you did was apartments. And you made a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of. I mean, everybody's always thinking, well, everybody, you know, you want to buy a house. But there are a lot of young people who aren't ready, don't want to buy a house yet. They want an apartment.
Sure. Absolutely. And yet they also want an apartment that's close to the center of town where there's nightlife. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what a concept, right? They want nightlife. They want excitement. They want entertainment and things to do. And in one of my talks since I was here this time, somebody said, well, you know, we used to have that situation. And then this particular town, I don't remember which town it was, just shut down everything because they said there's too much activity at night in town and we don't want all those young people here. And you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You have to say that it's okay for young people to go out and you know, go to bars and, and have fun. That's what young people do.
Yeah.
and they don't want the responsibility of owning a house on 2 acres of land, which is 80% of the housing stock on the Cape.
Right.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Right.
And you know, when you're 28 years old, maybe you're not ready for that yet.
And try to put up an apartment complex.
there's two myths that go along with that. One myth is that it'll immediately be filled with criminals. And of course, we're talking about middle-class people. We're talking about professional workers. We're talking about teachers. These are not criminals. And I think it's going to be up to the young professional associations to go to town meetings and say, do we look like criminals in our coats and ties? We are not criminals, and we need places to live. We need places to have fun at. And by reducing the number of apartments, which is what has happened, there's actually been a reduction in the number of apartments, you're really saying to young people, we don't want you. You're holding up a hand and saying, get lost. We don't want you. We don't want you in our community. That's economic suicide. You can't turn your back on young people and survive economically long term. Can't be done.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the reaction that you've had in these meetings with town leaders. People are still talking, you know, from folks I run into who went to the conference in October, said you kind of really got this buzz going, and a lot of people have been talking about it, and which is, I'm sure, why the chamber brought you back to talk to the town leaders. What have the meetings been like?
The meetings have been terrific. People have been very open, and particularly they've been open about repeating the myths. And the apartment house will immediately be filled with people that require police activity all the time. We'll have to increase our police force. It's a myth, and we pretty much put that one to rest. But they also repeated the other myth, and that is if we build any affordable housing, it will instantly flood our schools with children and drive up our property taxes. And they said that yesterday. I stood up and said, every one of those apartments will put two kids in the school at $13,000 a piece, and that will cost us $26,000. And what are we going to get in property taxes from that apartment? Nothing. And I sighed, and I said, first of all, that's an average cost. It's clear that the marginal cost of putting two more children or 20 more children, or even 200 more children in the public schools on the Cape is zero. There's no additional cost. Because there has been no savings from reduction of 15%, there probably would be no additional cost from an increase of 15% because all the costs are fixed. Mm-hmm. School costs may rise, but they're rising for other reasons. They're not tied to the number of children. But everybody on the Cape and everybody in New England has in their head the average cost of educating a child, and they attach that to every child. Mm-hmm. And the state is even complicit in doing this when they move money around. It's wrong, absolutely wrong, to think that there is an average cost of educating a child and that applies to every child. It does not. Mm-hmm. There's a fixed cost, and that cost is largely irrespective of the number of children. Slight changes, 5, 10% either way, the numbers of children have no effect whatsoever on property taxes. And once you bust that myth, then I hope people are more open to the idea that, well, we could build some apartments for young people And it won't raise our property taxes, and it won't mean we have to double our police force.
Right. I want to talk something, the home demand. You talked about the home demand and having three drivers. Maybe you can explain that and what's happening here in the workers, the retirees, and the second home buyers, which we've been strong in, but we're seeing some erosion in one of those categories.
Yes. The problem is that retirees come to the Cape to retire, and it appears as if they're not coming to the degree they used to. There's been some out-migration of people 65 to 74. But the retirees come to the Cape, come anywhere that they're going to retire, with armed in their hands the equity that they got from selling their other house. And if they come from the Boston metropolitan area, that's a lot of equity. Mm-hmm. And so they can afford to buy a pretty expensive house and pay cash for it, or, you know, get a very small mortgage. And so they're good buyers, and they're good people to live on the Cape, and I'm sure the Cape is happy to have them. The second home buyer, it's the same situation. A second home buyer who can come to the Cape and buy a home is usually one that has enough money to afford two homes. I mean, I don't own two homes, and I don't own a vacation home, and don't plan to buy one. And the idea of doing that is pretty frightful to me. But there are plenty of people that have enough equity, that cash from the stock market or whatever, and they buy a house. Mm-hmm. If they couldn't afford it, they wouldn't have bought it.
Right.
It's an optional thing with them. And there appears to be lots of demand for second homes, and that's good. But both of those people can easily outbid the 35-year-old or 32-year-old recently married couple who together earn $80,000 or $90,000 or even $100,000 a year. The ratio of income to house value, the household income to average home value on the Cape, is 6.5 to 1. And so what that means is it should be about 4 to 1.
Right.
A person, a household with $100,000 of income should be able to buy a really nice home for about $400,000. They can buy a home for about $300,000 almost anywhere else in the country, certainly in the Carolinas, right, or in the Midwest, for $300,000. They have to pay $500,000 for the same house here, and they're really stretched, mm-hmm, if they can afford it at all. And they rarely have much of a down payment. And so they end up paying mortgage insurance and, right, everything else, and it becomes just prohibitively expensive for, mm-hmm, them. Mm-hmm. And what we need is some middle-class housing. Mm-hmm. We don't want to call it affordable housing because we're not talking about subsidized, right, low-income housing. We're talking about middle-class housing for middle-class people.
And one of the things that happens here when you get this sort of unbalance in that, as you were saying, is the second home buyers, when they see the property values decrease, they leave.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's also that danger that we could be, you know, facing.
Too many second home buyers on the Cape, too many second home owners on the Cape is not stable. It creates instability because they're not as emotionally attached to a home. They don't work here. And in a minute, they would say, if they see the situation deteriorating, the economy deteriorating, if they, instead of being able to pay $70 or $80 for a plumber to come and fix something or a carpenter, they're paying $150 an hour because of lack of workers, they just give up. Mm-hmm. And they say, they put it on the market, dump it, and go someplace else where the housing is either less expensive or just owning it is, mm-hmm, less expensive. Mm-hmm. Rising property taxes depreciates the value of homes, mm-hmm, eventually, and that's not a good thing.
Right. Now, in the meetings that you've been having with the town leaders, do you find a lot of optimism? Are people, I know that you've been talking, and then there have been these sort of discussions around your comments. Is there optimism here and people kind of wanting to work together to try to solve some of these issues?
I have picked up quite a bit of optimism, heavily, heavily tempered with a deep realization of how incredibly difficult it's going to be, because the culture of New England, of small town New England, is so deeply ingrained. This belief of, you know, two kids in school will bankrupt me is so deeply ingrained in the New England psyche that getting political will to make these changes is nearly impossible. We had two fire chiefs, for example, in one of the meetings, and the two fire chiefs said, we'd consolidate tomorrow, but it's politically impossible. Mm-hmm. And when the only way it's going to happen, if there is a political realization among the average voter in these towns, that this cannot continue. If I told you that you had to do something that was necessary for your personal survival, you wouldn't come back to me and say, it's too difficult, I can't do it.
Right.
You do it.
Yeah.
And I'm suggesting that the Cape doesn't have really any option but to make the necessary changes to make the Cape and all of its citizens and all of its workers more competitive in the global economy. Because right now, the declining workforce and rising costs of everything, it's just not competitive. And it needs to somehow become more efficient and survive economically.
So basically, what you've been kind of the information you've been presenting to the community and business leaders and all of that, somehow that information has to get to the average voter.
That's right.
So has there been some discussion about a campaign to do that?
There has. The Cape Cod Commission is talking to me about putting together some documents, mm-hmm. some papers that could be circulated. That, for example, would bust this myth about the two kids in the school and other things. And also, the Cape Cod Commission can provide some information to help people understand that we can have modest, smart growth in and near towns that is compact, that we can provide some sort of transportation systems with, and not have to have every house on 2 acres. Mm-hmm. And welcome back the next generation as opposed to turning our backs on them. Mm-hmm. And we can do this without spending a lot of money, and the Cape will be better off for it in the long run.
And were the young professionals part of these discussions?
You bet.
Oh, good.
There was one in each of two, and one of them asked me what I thought the solution was generally, and I said, you're the solution. It's up to you to go to these town meetings and push back
right.
when they say, we want to exclude families with children. Say, wait a minute, you're talking about me.
Yeah, right.
And you want to exclude me. Why would you want to do that? I'm not a criminal.
Right. Demographer Peter Francis, thanks so much for your information and all your hard work in putting all these statistics together.
It's been a pleasure. The welcoming I've received on the Cape has been marvelous. Right. The hospitality has been outstanding, and I thank you.
Right. Thank you. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is hosted and produced by Mindy Todd. The executive producer is Steve Young. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH Radio.